Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
95.7 The Game presents Warriors World Radio. Featuring the one and only Andy Liu.
Grow up. Yeah, you grow up.
And Sam Esfandiari.
So, who are you? Why do I gotta talk to you?
This is Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game.
Warriors World Radio, this is what, the funeral episode? Sam, did you write your eulogy yet?
Don't say that. Actually.
The end of the dynasty, did you write that? Spent a couple hours writing it out. Got the coffin up. And
you know, the impression I've got from fans is kind of a mixture of pride and sadness over the injuries, the way it ended. I haven't heard anyone upset that they lost. I've just heard a lot of fans who are proud of how much fight they showed and just kind of sad for what happened to KD and Klay. Like, you don't wish that on anyone. Now they're both likely out for all of next year.
The people are sad about the injuries, more so than I think about the loss of a championship. I mean, they go hand in hand, obviously, but yeah, I mean, you're right. A lot of the people that I think we grew up with all Warriors fans. All of our friends are Warriors fans most of the time.
Correct.
People are not saying, oh, you know, maybe if they're healthy, they would won or this or that or we choked or whatever. It's more of like, man, Durant's going to be out a year. Klay's going to be out a year. But they fought more than I think really any other team would have fought in this series, in this postseason, getting this, you know, this team all the way to a chance to take it to a game seven in the NBA Finals. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I feel like when your team loses, you're always asking yourself, what if they did this?
Yeah.
What if they did that? And when the Warriors lost game six to close out Oracle, I had none of those questions. All I was thinking about was they legitimately gave it everything they had, including two key players giving their bodies. There was nothing else to give. Klay was dealing with a hamstring issue to the point where his knee gave out. KD, I mean, trying to come back in that game five and aggravating the Achilles and rupturing it. Ugh. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
We could go down the line too, Sam. Like, let's go.
We're not even talking about players just dealing with nursing, you know, nagging injuries.
That's exactly what I'm like. Boogie, right? He's got the torn quad. He's also coming off the Achilles. He's obviously not moving great. Gave us all. We've got Steph, who's playing through that finger dislocation. We got Andre Iguodala, who scored almost 30 points on a sore calf. That almost took him out a few games. We got a bunch of bench players. Well, Kevon Looney. Let's talk about Kevon Looney, who played through a broken whatever it was in his collarbone.
An injury which I still am not quite sure what it was. It sounded painful, but the way it was diagnosed was something I'd never heard of. It was torn cartilage around the collarbone. I mean, game five, some of the faces he was making after he was, you know, obviously dealing with contact, as you will, when you're a big man inside. I was just like, get him out of there. You know, like how, but I don't know what else to say about them at this point.
Nope. And you got Draymond Green, who grabbed 20 rebounds in an elimination game against Gasol, Ibaka, Kawhi, right? Draymond, who's about 6'5 out there, who was just a monster on the boards. And then you got Quinn Cook, who he tried his best. It wasn't great, but he tried.
I think he played well above what I would have expected him to. No one expected Quinn Cook to be basically the second best scorer on the floor in an elimination game of the finals, but that's what we were down to.
Yep. That was the only option at that point. And you were at the game, Sam. I didn't show up because, you know, my followers said, you know, I'm bad luck, you know.
Yeah,
how was the crowd?
Your track record, you took one for the team. I know you wanted to be there, but sometimes you have to think bigger picture. It's not always about Andy. It's about the whole fan base. It's about the masses. I thought it was a great crowd. I thought it was a throwback crowd. I thought they were loud the whole way through. I thought they knew, they sensed the moment. They knew it was the last game there. When the Warriors started the game down, were they down 08 or
010? Yeah.
Something to that extent. They were getting louder, encouraging the team. The minute Klay hit a couple of shots, it started going. I mean, it was a crowd that knew this was the last game at Oracle and what was going on.
Yeah, fantastic performance by the crowd. I think a fantastic performance by the team, too. I think one of the better, probably one of the best efforts in games from the team this year at Oracle. It hasn't been the greatest Oracle performance by the Warriors this year, but that last game was everything you'd ever wanted. It was straight out of the movies, you know, outside of the happy ending, right?
Yeah, it was. The crowd had been getting a little entitled over the years, and, you know, that's expected when you win three titles, you go to the finals 5 years in a row. But the crowd was able to dial it back when they knew the team needed it in game six. And I don't know what else you can say about that.
Nope. Well, let's set the show, Sam. Warriors World Radio. Sam is Findiari, Andy Liu. We're on for 3 hours. So what's 4:05 right now? We're on till 7 p.m. We've got three guests. We got Drew Schiller. Warriors Outsider, he's on TV, played at Stanford. Coming on at 4:15.
Dominated the media game, MVP of the media game, Drew Schiller.
Oh, he did. That's right. Well, he's cheating. He's an actual player, so that was unfair. We got Zach Harper at 5:15 in the second hour.
From The Athletic.
Yep. And then we've got Mo Dacchio. Is it Washington Post?
Washington Post.
What else?
Blue Wire.
Yeah.
Blue Wire. He's out there. Mo's one of my favorite people to check out after a game because he always has the best video breakdowns.
He did video scouting coordinating for someone too, right?
For the Clippers and the Spurs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He actually knows what he's talking about.
Unlike me and Sam, we're just here spouting stuff, you know? So call in 888-957-9570. Text into the Chilton Auto Body text line 957-95. Father's Day today. Good day. It's also like 50. Well, last week we were on and I was whining about the weather the whole time. It is absolutely freezing right now.
Yeah, we're back to San Francisco weather in the studio. The rest of the Bay Area is kind of cooled down. I guess we got what we wished for, right?
We got what we wished for.
At least in that sense.
Yeah. Yeah, the fog is back. So well, back to the Warriors. Where do we even begin?
I want to start with something I saw in the SF Chronicle today. Someone bought an ad, father and a son, Kip and Reese Theriault. And if I mispronounce that, please call in and correct me.
Is that Ryan Theriault's? Is that any relation, Carl? Producer? No, okay. Sam, go ahead.
Carl doesn't know.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, the ad read, definition of a warrior, a person who shows great vigor, courage, a brave fighter. Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, you're the definition of a warrior. The city, the town, and all of Dub Nation is inspired by your passion for playing the game and competing with your team. We wish you and your families confidence in your recovery, and we believe in you. I think that sums up everything I've heard from the fan base over the last 72 hours since Thursday night. But I'd be curious. Call in 888-957-9570 and let Andy and I know what your thoughts are at the end of the season, kind of the disappointing ending. Are you proud of the team? How you feel? Obviously, the season ends with a couple devastating injuries. I really can't think of a team who's gone through a week like the Warriors have. I think back to Monday night. We're getting word KD's playing. I was texting with you, Andy, and we're kind of excited. Like, you know, they could come back 3-1. KD's going to turn the series. And then he gets hurt after scoring 11 in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And they end up winning that game. But obviously the bigger story is he's ruptured his Achilles and he's going to be out a year. And it's kind of a conflicting feeling. And then you go to the last game at Oracle. And I was able to kind of put that away just for those 2 to 3 hours of the game. And Klay was playing. I thought that was the best I've ever seen Klay Thompson play.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just he was making shots. He makes shots. That's what he does. The variety of shots, the defensive plays. I mean, some of that stuff was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Pulling up from 30
yeah.
with two defenders draped all over him.
Fast break.
Some of those shots were insane. And then he goes down. And, I mean, I can't think of a team who's had two players suffer essentially year-long injuries in back-to-back games, much less in the last week of the season.
Yeah, back-to-back games in the NBA Finals, too. And we're not talking about, like, just some normal star players. This is Kevin Durant right? This is a top 10 all-time NBA player. And Klay Thompson, who is an all-time elimination game player, one of the best guys that you want on your team if you are about to lose a series. There's nobody better than Klay Thompson. And they lost both of them. So you're right. I'm with you, Sam. I do want to hear what the people think. Because I think that the people are sad, but I think people are proud of the way this team fought, just like in that.
Draymond Green after game six said
he's a warrior, and obviously that's, you know, no pun intended with that, but it's no other way to describe him. You know, he's going to give everything he got every time he step on the floor, and even some things that he don't have, which is health. He was going to try to give it more. That's just who he is. That's why we love him.
Yeah, Draymond Green, who played a hell of a elimination game. It reminded me of that 2016 game. I mean, he had 7 threes in that game. He wasn't scoring this game, but he had the type of defensive effort and rebounding that could have won the game. I don't think he played his best game, but you can tell like he was playing like almost his career depended on it. So I thought it was fantastic. We got a few minutes. You know, why don't we just go to a call real quick? Mar in Vallejo is online one, so let's go to him. He wants to talk about the season at large. Hey, Mar, how's it going?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. First-time listener, actually, as well.
Nice.
So, you know, I'm actually not surprised by the way the season ended as a whole. You know, the bench, we got to be honest here, the bench was never good to begin with, and fans got to realize that. And there was just a lot of expectations going in, obviously. With the team already going to 4 straight finals, winning 3 already. I feel bad for KD and Klay. Also not surprised by the decision that the Warriors want to retain them. But I'm going to put this out here, and it's going to be a very unpopular opinion just for the simple fact that, you know, we drafted these guys, but it wouldn't shock me if the Warriors decide to either trade one or the two of the likes of Andre or Draymond. Both of these guys' contracts are coming up, and try and get some assets out of it. I don't know if that's even worth the conversation right now, but I'm not going to lie, I was one of those guys that was down to trade Monte when it did happen back then, and it was an unpopular opinion as well. So just kind of want to get your guys' take on that.
Thanks, Mar. We're going to get into that later in the show because it is an interesting question. The reality is every player is going to be over 30 next year. Draymond's coming up for contract. Iguodala will be 36. At some point, we've always known this core would either need to be supplemented or players from it would need to be traded to kind of keep the run going. And it kind of feels like we're getting to that point. So I want to hear from everyone what they think the Warriors should do going forward. You're listening to 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
I feel like I don't even need to introduce myself. I always go like Warriors World Radio, Andy Liu, Sam Esfandiari. But it's like,
I mean, we're introduced 5 to 10 seconds before you save that.
I know. It's like, what? I just realized that on our like 11th show or 12th show. Do other people do that? Do they just reintroduce themselves? Just redo it every time? All right, well, we'll do it again next time. No, just keep,
maybe
just
we'll
keep
go,
saying
maybe we'll
Andy
build some
Liu.
Fake names yeah. Going forward. You can introduce yourself as the guru.
Joe Lacob on Warriors World Radio. we're doing a 3-hour show here, 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We're pretty much doing everything on the Warriors off season. What people feel about. We want people to call in and tell us what they feel about the entire season as a whole, last season at Oracle. And we've also brought someone via the dial pad from Warriors Outsiders, Drew Schiller. Sir, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I had to make the tough decision of pushing back when I could start drinking beers on Father's Day, my first Father's Day, like I just absolutely had to take advantage of the opportunity to join you guys on a Sunday afternoon. How could I pass this up? Especially with Game 7 starting in about about 45 minutes.
Oh, stop it. Oh, how dare you?
I mean, you could have just lied to us and said you haven't already started drinking beers. No one would have known any different.
Yeah, well, let's see if I slur my words at all.
Did you get your Father's Day haircut yet, Drew?
I don't really see why you needed to take an unsolicited shot at me balding, but that's cool.
Oh man, thanks for joining. I couldn't resist. I know Grant would have been very proud of me for throwing that out there, so I had to
absolutely. He's listening right now. I'm somewhere.
Hey, we brought you on because we did want to get your temperature check on the Warriors right now. It's been a few days since they've been eliminated, the last game at home at Oracle. So I'm going to start with a very broad question. What are your thoughts kind of just on the Warriors right now so far?
Well, I mean, losing the finals, obviously, disappointing from a Warriors perspective. However, what happened with Klay Thompson, I think, was what everyone was thinking about and has been thinking about for the last, 72 hours or so, just because, you know, he's going to obviously miss the majority of next season, if not all of next season, depending on where he's at with his rehab and where the Warriors are at in the standings. So, these next couple weeks are going to be absolutely nuts. You know, there's going to be a lot of roster shakeup, you would think. However, if KD decides to come back, and we assume that Klay is going to come back, you know, guys like Jordan Bell, Quinn Cook, they could return, but there's going to be, you know, some changes along the peripheral for sure. As Steve Kerr said the other day, the roster is going to look different. And then, of course, just throughout next year, not having Klay, you know, they're going to have to find a lot of shooting this summer. I think that's the first priority, is they need to be able to have guys on the floor who are threats from beyond the arc, so that way Steph can't get double-teamed and triple-teamed, and the spacing out there, it can't be non-existent, which we saw at some points during the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to ask about Klay and KD. I honestly can't think of a team who's had a week like the Warriors have had, where you don't have one, you have two players suffer devastating 9+ month injuries. So I think the temperature of Warrior fans is generally just kind of they feel for the players. But moving forward, what are your realistic expectations for both players when they come back? They'll both be over 30. Are they going to be the same player, or what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, this is unprecedented what the Warriors are dealing with. Two of the, you know, 15 to 20 best players in the world, KD obviously right there in the top two or three, and they're both unrestricted free agents. I mean, it really is, it's just nuts. But, I mean, I think you guys would agree, despite the fact that, you know, the Achilles for KD and the ACL for Klay are serious, like, if there are two guys who can come back and, you know, get back to at least close to the type of players they were before, it would be these guys because of their ability to shoot. You know, they're probably going to be a little bit limited when it comes to, you know, the way that they are able to attack the basket. But Klay doesn't really rely on that too much anyway. And KD is just, you know, so unbelievable mid-range, and I think he's going to become an even better shooter through this injury. So I think that it's very fair to be optimistic about their ability to still get back to the level that they were at before. I mean, there's no reason to have a doomsday mentality. It's just more disappointing that they are both losing a year off of their prime, because, you know, that's just not what you would expect them to be going through at this point. I mean, it really is wild. You know, Steph was talking the other day about how, you know, these guys were supposed to just have these awesome summers where they finally got these massive, massive contracts and they were going to be able to celebrate. And now they're looking at some grueling rehab ahead of them. But I think that people should be pretty optimistic about where they can get back to.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. If it was if they were players like our old friend Monte Ellis, you know, kind of reliant on explosiveness, I'd be a little more pessimistic. But you're talking about two of the greatest shooters of all time.
Or even Draymond.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Draymond, before you guys even ask about Draymond, like, man, he is such a massive variable this summer, because I'm sure the Warriors are going to offer him
the 4-year, $100 million extension, which is the most that they can offer him. And if he decides to decline that and, you know, basically let everybody know that he wants to get to unrestricted free agency in the summer of 2020 just to increase his earning potential, that is going to complicate things, I'm sure, from the Warriors front office perspective, based on, you know, what they might do in the future. But if you're Draymond, I would assume that watching KD and Klay suffer these catastrophic injuries probably will impact his thought process when it comes to either agreeing to the extension or waiting until unrestricted free agency, because I just don't know if it's worth it for Draymond to wait until the summer of 2020. But then again, he might say, forget that. I'm betting on myself.
Right.
I'm not going to get injured, and I'm going to set myself up for an even bigger payday next summer.
Well, it's almost, if he didn't sign with Clutch would be my thought process, because the fact that he did sign with Clutch makes me think that, hey, he probably wants more freedom, right? And just kind of maybe more leverage in terms of getting the money that he wants or getting to maybe a team that he wants moving
forward.
But I will say,
you know, everyone thinks of kind of how LeBron uses his leverage as kind of being the Clutch playbook. That's more of just a LeBron playbook. Eric Bledsoe.
Anthony Davis playbook.
That's true, too. But Eric Bledsoe, who's also represented by Rich Paul, signed an early extension quietly before he hit free agency this summer.
Yep.
So, you know, you never know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. That will be interesting. But it's like, if that's the case, why'd you even sign with Clutch? What was the point? You could have gotten the same contract with the agent.
Yeah, I think it's mostly for off-the-court stuff.
Huh.
I think that Draymond wants to be affiliated with everything that LeBron and Rich Paul are doing from a business perspective, just with the entertainment world and the investment world. But you never know. I mean, stuff's obviously going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And who knows? We might have a Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, LeBron James crew in L.A.
Per Drew Schiller sources. Guys, cut that clip up, please. We're gonna put Drew's name on it.
Sure it gets aggregated.
Yeah, we'll make sure. Drew, we got you.
Thank you.
So let's talk about Draymond, because do you think moving forward that he can still be like what if, you know, in terms of the Warriors, they do get, you know, Kevin Durant and Klay signed to max extensions and they do get to keep them. Does Draymond Green become sort of expendable in that you do need other players? Go ahead.
I felt like interjecting there right away.
Please, yeah.
I mean, I have a soft spot for Draymond. I think that, like Steph, to a certain extent, he's just forever going to be underrated and people aren't going to fully appreciate what he does. I mean, everyone knows that he's an incredible defensive player, but he's so unbelievably important to the Warriors' offensive identity as well, with the way he pushes the ball and sets guys up for easy buckets. I mean, he had 13 assists in game 6. I know he had the 8 turnovers, but Draymond, even though conventional wisdom, you know, says that because he's not a pure shooter, because he's already had his body break down a little bit during the regular season, that he's just not going to age well, I'm just never, ever going to bet against Draymond Green. I think that he will be able to tweak his game, to be able to age appropriately. I don't think he's ever going to be a 39% three-point shooter again like he was in 2015-16. But, I mean, if he needs to, I think he absolutely could get back to 36% consistently throughout the regular season. Also, I mean, I think with him, if the Warriors enter the playoffs as a 7th seed, not saying that that's going to happen, but if they were to and then they get healthy at the right time, it doesn't matter. They can go on the road and win any playoff game, any series. So I don't think that Draymond becomes expendable at any point for the Warriors. I think he's indispensable, and I think that at 29, he still has a lot of good basketball ahead of him, like four or five years, where he can still be counted upon to play at a really high level.
I feel a little dirty asking this question.
Ask it.
But with KD rupturing his Achilles, do you think that makes it more likely, less likely, or zero impact on him returning to the Warriors?
I wish I could answer that question, but he's just such a wild card. I I don't know. I mean, you would think that just the way that everything has transpired, not just his injury, but Klay going down, the Warriors not winning the championship. I don't know if Anthony Davis going to the Lakers changes anything from his perspective. Does Kyrie being all but linked to going to Brooklyn, does that impact KD? Because I don't think Durant's going to the Nets. I think if he goes to New York, he's going to the Knicks. I don't think Rich Kleiman, that's Knicks or nothing at all.
Okay.
I don't know, man. It's going to be wild to see how everything shakes out here over the next couple of weeks. But if you're Durant, do you just take the player option and then assess where you're at physically and mentally a year from now?
Yeah.
Or do you just simply say, look, I'm going all in right now, and I'm coming back on a 5-year, $221 million deal, and I'm going to stay with Steph, Klay, and Draymond for the next 4 or 5 years, and we're going to try to, you know, get back to winning multiple championships? I just don't know, and I know you guys are in the same boat. Who knows what KD's going to do?
Yeah, it's crazy, too, because, you know, for a lot of people that thought maybe he'd made up his mind already about going to the Knicks, man, it certainly doesn't feel that way anymore. It certainly seems like he may not even have any idea where he's going to go at this point, and it's mid-June, right? And the last time he made his decision, I believe, was July 4th, 2016. So maybe just a few weeks away from us finding out where he's going to go.
And that's why, in his defense, now that so many crazy things have happened, this is why he always said, I just want to wait until the end of the season. I want to see what happens with everything around the league before he makes his decision. And none of us could have ever predicted that all of these things would have happened. And so, remember, the only reason he came to the Warriors in 2016 to begin with was because the Warriors lost to the Cavs. If the Warriors win that title, he does not come to Golden State. So he wanted all of the information at his disposal, and we still don't have all that information. He wants to see what these other big free agents do. He wants to, I'm sure, talk to some of them to see what they're thinking. As crazy as that sounds, I think that obviously goes on. And then he'll come to a decision. But he has already said he cannot be recruited by, like, organizations. Like, it's going to be just what he wants to do after collaborating with his team, and they'll go from there.
Yeah, so no, that's a good one. And because I am curious, too, his thought process. He is more beloved now, I think, at this point in his career maybe than ever. Maybe besides his first year in OKC. But let's spin this another way. Drew, as you are our resident G League expert, the Warriors do have a draft coming up. I don't know when it is. Who cares about the draft? Sam is a big draft guy.
The NBA draft is on Thursday, Andy.
Wait, what? It's this Thursday?
4 days away.
Wow. Okay, so perfect. No wonder Sam made me ask this question. So it's what do you think the Warriors are looking at? And this is a tee up for your question of that one guy that you like. I forget his name. But who do the Warriors like? Who are they looking to draft? Sam loves it.
Well, I can't pretend like I watched a lot of college basketball this year and that I know all of the profiles of all the guys in the late 20s, but you got to assume that they're going to look at someone who can shoot it, right? I mean, they Jacob Evans last year, they knew that he's not a knockdown shooter. They tweaked his mechanics a little bit, and he definitely improved down in Santa Cruz as the season went on. But back to what we talked about at the very beginning, they need shooting. I mean, they already were so top-heavy with Steph, Klay, and Durant, and two of those guys are not going to be there for the majority of next season. So I think it's got to be someone who they forecast as a guy who can space the floor and make three-pointers as a rookie, like, right away. So how many of those guys are available at 28 and then late in the in the second round when they pick again, that's what makes it so hard in the draft, especially when you're so good during the regular season, because you're not picking high up. But I think it's got to be shooting. I mean, they just, whew, as of right now, the roster.
Let's get you out there, Drew.
Hey,
media champion, NBA media champion. Come
MVP
on.
MVP of the media game.
Come on.
The only player capable of hitting a three off the dribble in the media.
Whew, legend.
I was hoping that Bob and Steve were watching the live stream and maybe they were getting their hopes up. But I'm not a minimum contract guy. I'm going to need the taxpayer mid-level.
All my friends know Drew, by the way, Sam. They all know him. The guy is a legend, a Bay Area legend. So,
Drew, before we get you out of here, it's kind of a weird mood with how the season ended, but I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on your favorite moment of the last year. I'm assuming it wasn't the last two games, but what was kind of your favorite moment of this last season?
My favorite moment.
Favorite moment, game. You know, you can pick anything.
I mean, the
KD calling out reporters at the press conference, whatever you want.
Reporters or Ethan Strauss? I think he was. I think he was talking to one guy in particular. I mean, the easy answer to that is Game 6 in Houston, right? I mean, is that would that be the one that jumps out to you guys?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, for me it would be just kind of Game 6 on, even down to the injuries. Just kind of everything went wrong and they kept fighting through it. It's hard to have any sort of negative feelings or just feeling like they left something on the table is kind of where I'm at with it. In 2016, I was like, they left it on the table. In 2019, over the last 6 weeks, I'm like, they didn't leave anything on the table.
No, I'm with you. And okay, how about a boring answer here? I go back to like the beginning of the season when they started 10-1, and Steph and KD were both averaging like 30 points per game. And, like, there was an actual question, like, can they both do that for an entire season? And it seemed like it was truly possible. And then Steph has the left groin strain, and, you know, things got kind of thrown off kilter from there. But I'm with you. I mean, and it's the disappointing part of that answer is that it involves KD not being on the court. It was,
right.
You know, it was how they rallied around him going down. But man, Game 5 in Toronto. I mean, we'll never forget that night with KD suffering the injury and just how catastrophic that was and how bad everybody felt for him. I mean, it was the season was such a blur, and you know, it was a grind to a certain extent. It wasn't like there was a ton of joyous moments throughout, but
somehow they were happiest at the end
when
it was all over. And they got through everything. Straight out of a story. They'll do a 30 for 30 one day.
Surreal moment.
Yeah.
How about Bob Myers after Game 6, last game in Oracle, just sitting up in the stand by himself drinking a Corona? You know, thinking about everything that happened with KD and Clay and what's going to happen moving forward. I mean, I think that picture is going to... I don't think it circulated on social media the way it probably should have.
Oh, yeah. I didn't post that, Drew.
No, I didn't see it until like 48 hours after it happened.
Yeah.
So kind of to your point, credit Bob for not going for something harder in that
I would have. Yeah,
I kind of would have wanted
a
glass of bourbon or something given how
just a glass.
The last week went.
Yeah.
I would say a bottle to the
bottle. I was going to say a bottle, maybe. Hey, Drew, we've taken up too much of your time on your first Father's Day. Thanks for coming on, brother. We'll hear from you soon, huh?
Sounds good, and I'm sure we'll be in touch over the next couple weeks.
Have a good one, Drew.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Drew Schiller, Warriors outsider, expert. I'm surprised he didn't bring up Samaj, whatever his name is, the kid that the Warriors are quote-unquote hiding. There's been articles written about him.
Alan Schmidt. I'll wait for him to text me the phonetic pronunciation of
correct.
It. But
correct.
He's projected late second round. So
really?
I don't think that's
see, that's how much
I'm talking about.
That's how much I know. Hey, we got a few minutes before we go to break, Sam. I found this pretty interesting. You asked a question to Drew whether, you know, the injury makes it less or more likely that he comes back as a free agent. I think it's more likely. It's just the first initial thought because did you hear the reaction around the league when he tore that Achilles, when he came back, you know, from a month and tore that Achilles on like after 10 minutes? Everybody loves Kevin Durant now. After a few years of people just throwing shots at him for no reason, everybody loves him.
Yeah, I thought Jalen Rose said it best when he called it all fake. Everyone spends 3 years questioning his character.
Right.
you know, if he wants it bad enough,
right.
Criticizing everything he does. And then the minute he gets hurt, you know, everyone pretends they didn't say
it's
that
guilt,
stuff.
You know, guilt, right? It's like the fake sympathy kind of thing. And you know, if KD was ever going to leave and he didn't get hurt, you know, that might have been one of the reasons. Maybe not the main reason, but one of the reasons why. And so now that that's out of the way, and you said it too, man, like the Warriors lost. They are not the favorites next year. They didn't win this year, right? Who knows when they'll make it back again?
I think Clay said it best. In the early part of the Toronto series, he basically said, you know, Kevin's our best player. With him, we're one of the greatest teams of all time. Without him, we're still really good, but we're not one of the greatest teams of all time. Yep. So he's basically saying, you know, we can compete without him, but he's the guy who makes us a title team. Yep. He's the guy who makes us one of those historic teams.
A certain title team, yep.
That puts us in that conversation with a, you know, Jordan's Bulls, yep. Magic's Lakers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep. Like, there's very little chance they lose with Kevin Durant when they're all, like, those 10 minutes that they played against Toronto when he was on the floor was ridiculous.
Yeah, we were both saying to each other, they'll win three in a row, or they should win three in a row. They can win three in a row, I guess, the best way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it's as close as you should win three in a row, down 3-1, and no team in history you could say that about. But with Kevin Durant on with those guys, it's not even close. So we'll head to break here. On the other side, make sure to call in 888-957-9570. Text in, Chone Auto Body text line, 95795. We'll keep going here. Call in, tell us what you think about Kevin Durant. Your favorite memories this season, last season at Oracle.
And what you think the Warriors should do going into the offseason. You're listening to Warriors World Radio.
Back to Warriors World Radio on 95.7 The Game. Here's Andy Liu and Sam Esfandiari.
Andy, so we got some open phones for the next 30 minutes. We're kind of recapping the Warriors season here. Want to hear?
By the way,
thoughts?
I saw you shaking your head. So. You like
on the
it.
Song?
You like the beat? Yeah, you like the beat.
It's good. I have no complaints.
What did you think about Porter's world set last night? Porter Robinson's world set last night.
I was into it.
Yeah. Did you enjoy it? Pretty cold in Oakland, but...
You know, I was front and center. I didn't have time to talk to you.
VIP only.
If you want to join the show, 888-957-9570 or text the Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. Andy, I want to read this text from the 678. Do you guys think the Warriors should legitimately consider load management for Steph and Draymond next season? This core has been playing 100 games a year for 5 years. That's a ton of wear and tear.
It's a great question. But here's the thing. If they play load management for Steph and Draymond, you are essentially asking the Warriors to lose games on purpose. Right? Because Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are obviously not playing. Quinn Cook is not carrying. Jacob Evans is not carrying the team to victories. I don't care.
You can't be asking.
It is not happening.
And so that's what Drew Schiller was saying on our last segment. It's going to be fascinating what they do this summer, because beyond how the season ended, the biggest theme was this team had no depth. Mm-hmm. And that's always expected when you have 4-5 stars that end up taking up the whole cap. It's hard to sign guys. You don't have money left over to go get an Austin Rivers,
or a Fred VanVleet, or a
Serge Ibaka, yeah. Or you know, they made a decision to be top heavy, which works until those top heavy guys go down.
Yeah, very simply put. So, I mean, is there a chance, Sam, that the Warriors will look at getting a lottery pick?
Are you talking about a mini tank?
Some people have brought it up. Some fans have brought it up. Not to say like they should do it, but the fact like they might have no choice but to do it because
What, you're going to run Steph and Draymond into the ground next season and make the postseason?
So let me hear this straight. Your theory is just play them 55 games. Take those 25 losses that are going to come from sending out lineups with none of the core four, because obviously Clay and KD are going to miss the year.
Yeah.
And we don't even know if they're going to be back. But let's just, even if they are back, they're still not going to play for a year.
Yep.
And just kind of go through the year, maybe hope to develop some guys, take the losses, maybe get that lottery pick to give you a nice young player to go forward with when everyone's back in the following year. Is that what we're talking about?
So they end up drafting. Yeah, I mean, that would be, I think a lot of people.
I don't think anyone wants to watch that.
No. No,
but I think a lot of people understand it.
So that's the thing, and you can kind of compare it. And Nico and Daily City, we'll get to you in a few seconds here. We'll finish this thought, but the thing is, the Warriors are moving to Chase Center. They're moving to San Francisco. It's a brand new arena. You almost cannot be a lottery team in a brand new arena, especially after you just made five finals. I do, however, think that.
Yeah, you can't do the process.
You cannot. You absolutely cannot. And you got Steph Curry. You can't do the process with a guy in his prime like that. But I do think fans are smart. And I think one of the reasons, you know, the San Francisco Giants kind of messed up is they won a lot of titles, but they also kind of took the fans and they said, hey, they almost acted like they were dumb and said, we're going to want to stay competitive or fake competitive because we want them in the seats. Now, ended up now, you know, Sam is an A's fan. The Giants are terrible. And there, nobody goes to the games now because they try to kind of hold on for too long.
So that's an interesting analogy, because to me, the defining thing about the Giants is they had this nice core that obviously won a title, never the best team in the league.
That would be three titles.
Yeah. But they consistently traded future picks to add veterans around a core that was getting older.
Yep.
That wasn't.
They were never that good. Never that good. Yeah.
And now you're in a situation where you have, I don't know, a Brandon Belt, a Crawford, Posey off of hip surgery, all these guys in their 30s with these contracts that no other team wants and no young players. And that's where you get kind of like, well, it might be 4 years before they're good again.
Yeah.
I don't think the Warriors want to go down that path, especially entering a new arena. So the question becomes, what do you do? Do you consider maybe shopping a Draymond? Maybe shopping Iguodala, sending him to a team that might be contending for some draft picks. Consider the fact that this year is kind of a lost year because Clay won't play. Because if KD resigns, he definitely won't play.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, hope to get as many pieces so when everyone's back the following year, you're set up to go forward and compete for another 5-6 years.
Yeah, no, that's tough. I do wonder what the people think. 888-957-9570. Now we've got some phone calls. Now we can take them all back to back to back. All right, let's start with Nico in Daly City. Let's talk about Durant and Clay. How you doing?
What's up, guys? Good. How are you guys, man? First of all, happy Father's Day if you guys are fathers and have babies.
Ooh. Nope,
but we appreciate it. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers
you
listening.
You too, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about Clay and Durant, man. I'm a Warriors fan. I went to Game 6. I was there cheering them on. And I just wanted to say I have nothing against Raptors. You know, I have nothing against anybody. But I give Raptors credit, you know. You know, they didn't come into the game. Nick Nurse didn't come into this game saying, hey, look, KD might get injured. Clay Thompson might get injured. I mean, KD was already injured. But Clay might get injured, you know. You know, it is what it is. I give the Raptors credit. What I'm trying to say is I don't like hearing people say, oh, what if, well, if KD was there and then we're going to win it. But nobody knows that. Nobody knows. It is what it is. It comes with the territory. Injuries come with the territory. It's sad. It's really sad. But I just really wanted to say that, you know, I'm tired of hearing other Warriors fans. Look, I don't say I'm a big Warriors fan, man. Like I told you, I was at Game 6. That's the only game I could have gone to because it works. But, you know, I don't like hearing people saying, oh, well, if KD was there, then this and this. But he wasn't there. That's the main thing. He wasn't there. I give Raptors credit. They played their asses. Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Nico.
Say that word.
You're fine. But
yeah, but you know, they played their butts off, man. Like, and I give them credit. And Nick Nurse, who knows what Nick Nurse would have done if KD was there and Clay was there. But see, my other thing is, I'll make this short. My other thing is, what if KD played and Thompson played? And look, I love him to death, man. And the Raptors still won. Then what would have been our excuse?
Thank you, Nico.
Great call. It's a great call.
That is a great call. I do agree with him. I have zero interest in, you know, pulling a 2015 Cavs fan and talking about how the Warriors would have won if there weren't injuries. There were injuries. It happens. I think Warrior fans more feel just bad for the players because these aren't – this wasn't a situation where Clay sprained his ankle, is going to be out for 3 weeks. But, you know, he's cool by July 1st, so it sucks he missed the finals, but, you know, he's fine. He suffered a devastating injury that's going to take 9-plus months to rehab. If you want to join the show, you can call in 888-957-9570 or text into the Chilton Autobody text line 95795. From the text line, the 415 asks, isn't there a decent chance that KD and Clay could be back for a 2020 playoff run?
Clay will be back.
Clay is possible. ACL is 9 to 12 months. Usually
12 months is.
Usually more 9. Yeah. So 9 would be after the All-Star break. He could be back in March. KD, no chance. Achilles, it's far more severe. It's just, you know, even if he can kind of get on the court in a light sense, no one's going to have him playing 15 minutes a game in a May playoff game.
Yeah, so I disagree that with you. I mean, this is given that KD's back on team, obviously. But I think he should be able to play basketball by then, maybe well before then.
Sure.
But he won't be able to play playoff basketball. And I don't think – after what happened this season, Sam?
Correct.
Yeah, that's not happening. I don't think the Warriors are throwing Kevin Durant out there in a second-round series against LeBron and Anthony Davis when he just came out. You know, when he just came off an Achilles tear and what happened this postseason. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think if KD re-signs, you're not seeing him next season. And you shouldn't. You absolutely shouldn't. Because what if he, you know, pulls a hammy or he gets another injury? Might not be as bad, but it's like at that point, it's – here's the thing. I don't even think of Rick Celebrini, who's the Warriors' head trainer. I don't even think he's going to be back. Like, I have no idea. They have his back as of now, but would you bring that guy back? Like, after what happened this season, if it's his fault or not, I don't know.
Well, Andy, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to make those judgments, but I mean, it does.
You're on the radio.
It doesn't look great, but I mean, he is very well regarded. Steve Nash and Steve Kerr swear by him. I would be careful in putting blame on the Warriors trainer, especially when you are aware that they go out and get multiple consultations from specialists.
Sure. Yeah,
so it seems that's one of those things where you're looking for someone to blame. And
I do that well. I do that well.
But, you know, I don't feel comfortable talking about it. If we find out something, like there was some sort of misdiagnosis, then we can have that conversation. But I think it's really reckless to make those kind
Look
of
Look at Sam
points.
Playing the politics well. I love that. I'm with you, Sam. Saving my back. See, hear that? That's what Warriors Radio is here for. All right, let's keep going here. We got is Kurt in Oakland the next one up?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Kurt in Oakland. Kurt, how's it going? What you got for us?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Did we lose you?
Oh no,
Kurt, call back. We'll push you to the front of the phone line if you do. In the meantime, let's go to Vernon in San Francisco. Vernon, how's it going?
It's going good, guys. Listen, I've been listening to both of you since day one of you coming on and doing your thing.
And thank you, Vernon.
I think you have a special tack, and there's something about what took place with KD going down and with Clay going down, and I played football at college. I'm a coach. I understand sports, and something happened in this season with the Warriors that took sports to its heart. And what I mean by that is it didn't matter that we didn't win. It's not always about winning. It's about everybody gathering together and being a brother or a sister. And that's what everybody felt. When Bob was sitting in the bleachers with his corona, when everybody was looking for words, it's very hard to find any way to explain what takes place when something larger than winning. When KD went down after everybody attacking him all year, when Clay not only went down, but they told him to go into the locker room, and he ran out. He ran back out and shot those two free throws because they said they had to do it. And the guy's running on a ruptured ACL. This is not science fiction, but this is true heart and soul of the sports in the 49ers, the Giants, the A's, the Warriors. And I'm just saying that what people need to do is calm down a little bit. Clay's coming back. KD's coming back. We're going to have another championship Warrior team.
I love it.
It's deeper. It's deeper than winning.
Thank you, Vernon.
We are getting some good calls today.
What Vernon said's basically the impression I've got from every Warriors fan over the last week and kind of how I feel. It's really hard to even care that they lost the finals when so many bigger things happened. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ Woo! FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
I love when you do the pause. Like, you do the pause, and then you just go right in it. It's just, it's like perfect execution.
I go to my elevator voice.
Every week.
I want to get back to what Vernon was saying. When he mentioned Clay, we didn't even talk about this yet because there's been so much to go into. Clay coming out on a torn ACL to take the free throws and then trying to play through it. I mean, I don't think there's a better summation of Clay's toughness than that. I want to get to what Bob Myers said.
You know, the most common conversation I had last night with everybody was that we were just out of words. We were out of emotion. I mean, it was just... I don't know how, as a human being, you can only process so much. And then winning and losing is an emotional event. So just seeing him back there and, you know, figuring it might be an ACL, but not being sure. And I mean, for me, growing up, going to Warriors game, I'll never forget him walking out and shooting those free throws. Just as a fan, right? I don't get to be a fan that much. But the beauty of Clay was, I said, how you feeling? And he said, can't believe we lost that game. So, you know, that tells you everything you need to know.
Bob Myers, I don't think there's any person in the world that sounds like he's just about to start crying more than Bob Myers.
I mean, he cried at the KD press conference. But, yeah, I mean, there are just so many
emotions.
There are just so many moments in this last week. I mean, Do you remember how excited you felt when you saw KD warming up? And then to see him hit his first three shots in a row, I mean, it was a roller coaster of a week emotionally. I think Bob Myers said it. He said winning and losing is emotional, and a person can only process so much.
Yeah.
It was a crazy week.
And that Oracle crowd, too, was fantastic when Clay came back, right? I think that cheer was one of the seminal moments, I think, of that night.
And I remember watching it in person. He wasn't limping significantly ridiculous. More than he was kind of limping the last three games, you know, because he was dealing with the aggravated hamstring, so it was unclear. And I thought he was going to play through it. I didn't know what it was, obviously. You know, when you're in the arena, you see him go down, you see him grab his knee, oh no. And then he walks back out, hits the free throws, and comes back. The crowd was wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you get the report afterwards, and you're like, man, it really was the worst-case thought I had when I saw him go down.
Yeah. He was shaking that knee off after the free throws, and Boogie's looking at him like, what are you doing? Like, you knew it was bad for Clay because you never see Clay scream in pain or you never see him show emotion when he gets hurt. And he was on the ground slamming the hardwood, and you just knew that it was going to be bad. But a great moment. Turned out to be a great moment, but, you know, long-term, we're going to have to wait a while to see him come back. So let's keep going. Let's go to Janet in Oakland. Janet, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for taking the call. I love listening to you guys. You've kind of taken over the NPR for me during the Warriors season.
I love that.
But I just wanted to say, my big concern is I absolutely love them. They show their heart. They're amazing, and I think they'll come back. I think my biggest concern is that they not wear out, you know, Steph and Draymond during the season, just trying to hold it down until KD and Clay come back, because I think the main thing is they're going to come back, and they're going to come back stronger than ever because they've got that drive, they're passionate, and they know the game like nobody else. But I just hope management can figure out how to get a stronger bench so that we do have strength in numbers again, and so they...
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.